I'm going to get a mechanic to work on my car, I want a mechanic that's learned how to change a flat tire. Amen. It's nice when people say, you know what? I've got struggles. I've got issues too. And in this passage of Scripture, Paul does that. Romans chapter 7, verse 18, he says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." And notice what he says, verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." "Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Then I think we've all been here. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There is deliverance today. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's ask God to talk to us about this today. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your presence, your spirit, for all that are gathered here today. I pray that your spirit would work and move in us, God. Let your will be done in our life. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Change us. Work on us here today so that we leave more like you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. No doubt we've all learned in school of historic battles that have been fought throughout the earth's civilization. In the last few hundred years, we know of Washington crossing the Delaware, the Battle of the Alamo. Locally, we know of the Battle of Wilson's Creek. There was the Battle of the Bulge. There was the Battle of Iwo Jima. The Tet Offensive, and along with many other throughout history, military actions. But let me remind us here today that we are all in a battle. The interesting thing is that this war that we are in, it has actually already been won. Jesus Christ won the victory when he died for our sins at the cross and rose again on the third day. But there are still a few battles in this war that are taking place, a few skirmishes that have not been decided yet. And the outcome of these battles, it determines the eternal destiny of our souls. That is what makes this the most important battle in history, because of its impact on our lives. It's not just for a few moments in time, but it's going to affect all of eternity. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 reminds us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We must never forget that the devil truly is our adversary. He is the enemy of our souls. He is as a roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. And that's true. We must not forget that. We need to remember it. But also we must never forget today that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. We have power over the devil. We've been given authority. If you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you have a great power inside of you. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power. Power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Today I feel to preach to us on this subject of warfare. And we're going to examine our greatest enemy. Our greatest enemy. Naturally, many of us today would think immediately of the devil. Our greatest enemy? Well, that's got to be Satan's kingdom. That's got to be the gates of hell, all the demonic powers that Satan wields. Of course, he is our adversary, and we must never let our guard down. We got to be sober and vigilant and stay alert and pay attention and be watchful, because he is the enemy of our souls. But I want to tell you about another enemy today, one that often goes undetected until it's too late. One that we often let our guard down with. This is an enemy that's much more close to home. In fact, this enemy lives in our home. It eats our food and it sleeps in our bed. It wears our clothes and it uses our toothbrush. You getting it today? Our greatest enemy is that person that looks back at us in the mirror each day. Come on, that one that dwells inside our fleshly body that we inhabit here on this earth. We are our greatest enemy. We cause ourselves the most trouble. We make ourselves the most misery. We get ourselves the most stuck. We are our own worst enemy. You can cast the devil out. You can take authority over him through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, but we can't cast ourselves out. We are stuck with us until we make it to heaven. There was an old saying used in marketing back in the 70s. Maybe some of you remember it. It said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." In this great battle that we're facing, in this struggle for spiritual victory, in this battle for our souls, don't you overlook the greatest enemy that we will face. It's ourselves. We have met the enemy, and he is us. And so I pray today that God would illuminate some things in our lives as I preach to us on this, the enemy within. The enemy within. Come on, somebody. Who is it that decided to sin in our life? Who is it that gave in to temptation? Who is it that ran after the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye? It was us, the enemy within. Who is it that decided to smoke that cigarette or take that drink or to try that drug? Who is it that made that choice to skip out of church and to not pray and to not be faithful? Who was it? I tell you, it was us. It was that enemy within. Who was it that decided to hold on to bitterness? Who was it that couldn't let go of that attitude? Who is it that would not release that anger? It was us, the enemy within. I pray today that we come face to face with the greatest giant in our life today, our biggest problem, our worst enemy. It's not anyone or anything outside of us, but it is within us. That is our greatest enemy today. In our text, Paul was saying that we all have a sinful nature because we have this desire to do good, but then we struggle to do it. He said, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I find myself doing." If the Apostle Paul had to fight this battle, then how much more do we? He said there's something at work inside of us. It's waging a war within us and making us a prisoner of the law of sin. And that's what we're preaching about here today. We've got to realize this enemy within us, this battle going on inside of us, every single one of us, this struggle. We've all got to overcome the enemy within. We've all got to win victory over this sinful nature. Amen. We've all got to learn how to deal with this battle of our flesh. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." I tell you, this battle is not won in just one day, and then we go on in victory, never having to face ourselves again. Oh, no, no, but this is a daily battle. It's a daily fight. And just about the time that we feel like we've conquered our flesh, you know, we've been praying and fasting, and we've been faithful to church and reading our Bibles and spending time with other Christians and talking about the Lord. And just about when we get to thinking that maybe now we've got this now. And maybe we've got things figured out, and now we can relax a little and coast along, and then our prayer life starts to suffer, and we don't read our Bible as much, and we miss a few church services, and look who shows up. Us. Our flesh, our sinful nature, after all of that praying and reading the Bible and fasting, and It's still there. I thought I killed you at the altar. I thought I sacrificed you. I thought I got rid of you back there at the cross. But oh, we're still there. We're still there. That flesh is coming back. It's stronger than ever. I want to tell you, you could take the flesh to the altar and let it die, but you give it a day or two or three or a week, and there it is again. It's a daily battle. We've got to take up our cross daily. We must ever be vigilant. We've got to always be on guard against this greatest enemy. It's the enemy within us. And the thing about this battle is, I can't fight it for you. Mom and Daddy can't fight it for you. Someone else can't win the victory for us. We have to fight this battle ourselves. Come on, it doesn't matter how much I want you to win. It doesn't matter how much they want you to win. Come on, if we don't get serious with the enemy within ourselves, then we're not going to have victory. We've got to fight this battle ourselves. We've got to fight this fight ourselves. After all Jesus did, he had to come to grips with his flesh in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he had to say, flesh, I know you don't want to go to the cross. I know you don't want to pay that price. I know you don't want to suffer, but nevertheless, not my fleshly will, but let the will of the Spirit be done. We've got to make a daily altar in our lives where we submit ourselves to God and we admit that we can't do this. We need his help. And we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done, O Lord. I've got to sacrifice my desires. I've got to sacrifice my flesh. God, let it not be my will, but thy will be done. Let's look at how this enemy within will battle our souls. One of the main battles we'll fight against this enemy within is with worldliness in our life. Worldliness, the love of the world, the love of the things of sin, a desire for the things of the world to look like the world, to act like the world. It's a pull to go the places that the world goes and do the things that the world does. There's a tug. There's a pull at all of our hearts. But James 4:4 tells us, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity against God, with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. God forbid, we don't want to find ourselves a friend of the world and an enemy with God. There needs to be an honest look at our lives today. Are we too close to the things of the world? Is there too much of the world in our lives, in what we do and in how we talk and in what we watch and in how we spend our time? So some people wonder, why am I so worldly? They wonder, why am I so worldly? Why do I struggle with worldliness? But that's all they're spending their time doing, watching television and movies that grieve the Holy Spirit and carnal conversations and off-color jokes and following worldliness on Instagram and Twitter. Come on, catching up on the latest gossip in Facebook and their Bible, it's collecting dust somewhere. They've not been to church family prayer in ages, and don't even look for them to come to pre-service prayer. They don't worship. They don't get with the preacher, much less do what the Word tells them to do. And then they wonder, why am I so worldly? Why am I struggling with worldliness? Why is it such a struggle to stay saved? 1 John 2 and 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world is going to pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Come on, we've got to win this battle within. Worldliness does not please God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Oh, instead of seeing how close we can get to the world and still be saved, well, how much can I do and still barely make it into heaven? We need to get that mindset, and we need to throw that aside and say, no, I've got to get close to Jesus. I've got to get close to Jesus. Oh, come on, I forget about the world, and I've got to do my best to get close to my Savior. I got to win this battle with worldliness. Worldliness, that's one battle we'll have with the enemy within. But we can have victory. And we can live holy. And we can dedicate ourselves to God. And we must, if we're going to defeat worldliness in our lives. Another battle we'll have with this enemy within, selfishness. Selfishness. Oh, we all face it. Selfish people think only of themselves. Jesus told a parable of a certain rich man. Well, his farming operation was blessed, and it was a good crop. And that man got to thinking, well, I don't have room for all of this harvest, and so I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barn and build up a bigger one. And then when I've been able to hoard all of my harvest to myself, then I'll sit back and relax, he said. And I'll say to myself, take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But then we read in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He had more than enough, and he never considered helping someone else. He never thought about those who did not have enough. I tell you, selfishness shows a lack of love. 1 John 3:17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, the people that have plenty, and when they see others in a need, but they shut off the compassion of their heart from helping them, how does the love of God dwell inside them? It's a battle to overcome selfishness. Oh, come on. Who do we think owns it all anyway? Who do we think it all belongs to anyway? It's not us. We could lose everything we have tomorrow. Come on. We could lose everything we have tomorrow. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to the King of Kings. But when we serve him with a grateful heart, and when we have compassion towards others, he decides how much of his goods he's going to direct through our lives so we can be a blessing to somebody else. Come on, I want to be a blessing that God can pour through me. Amen. Lord, keep it on coming. I don't want to just hold it all myself, but Lord, let me be a blessing to others so it can flow through my life. Come on, I don't want to be selfish, Lord, but I want to be a conduit that your blessings can flow through. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual thing. Money is a spiritual thing. Possessions are a spiritual thing because it shows who really has ownership in our life. Do we try to hoard it all, to control it all, or do we realize we don't own it? God's just given us a little bit of it for a time and a season. I want to tell you, tithing and offering are spiritual things. They are spiritual things. Do we mistakenly think we own everything, or do we realize God owns it all? God owns it all. And if we want to reap the spiritual blessing in our finances, we'll operate according to His rules and principles. If we want to win this victory over the enemy within, we've got to defeat selfishness in our lives. Generally, the number one way to do that is to be faithful in giving to God. Praise the Lord. Come on, we've got to win this battle. This enemy will defeat us quicker than any other one. This enemy is not, it's not ever going to give up. It's going to keep trying, but we've got to daily take up that cross and say, I'm going to follow Him. Amen, amen. Another struggle with the enemy within. How much fruit are we producing? Unfruitfulness. It shows that the enemy within has power over our lives. A sign of maturity is bearing fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, if we're not producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, if we're not reproducing ourselves in others and winning souls, if we're not producing fruit in the kingdom of God, then in some way we are not a mature Christian. We've not grown into what He has designed for us to be. Immature Christians do not bear fruit. It's the same in the natural world. An immature tree cannot bear fruit. And if a tree's not producing fruit, what does the Bible tell you to do? Cut it down. Come on, we have a purpose. We were not called to just sit in the kingdom of God and just be blessed and just reap the benefits of all that God has done for us. No, we've been called to produce fruit. We've been called to produce fruit. Come on, we've got to win this battle with us. If we're not producing fruit, we need to say, Lord, search my heart because something's not right. I'm too selfish, or I'm too busy, or I'm not involved in the kingdom of God enough, or I need to be full of the Holy Ghost because I've got to produce fruit. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If we want to receive a reward, we've got to bear fruit. We've got to produce fruit. We've got to do something to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. There is coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day of reckoning. 1 Corinthians 3:13 tells us, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If we don't have any fruit, there's not going to be a reward. But we can defeat this enemy by saying, Lord, don't cut me down, but give me another year, Lord. I believe that some of you have that kind of spirit and attitude today. Lord, maybe I've not produced as much fruit, but God, I want something to change. Work on me, Lord. God, fertilize this tree. Lord, work on my heart so that this year I'm going to produce some fruit. Come on, how many people here today, there is a calling of God upon your life, and you have not fully become what He has called you to be? What are you waiting on? It is time right now for you to say, God, use me, work through me, Lord. I'm ready to produce fruit. I'm ready to be a mature Christian in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God has called us to be faithful. He didn't call you to be perfect. He didn't call you to never make a mistake. He didn't call us to have all the answers or to be the smartest or the fastest or the best looking. God didn't call you to be any of that. He called us to be faithful. faithful. To win this battle with the enemy within, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. Unfaithfulness is a sin. How do I know? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to be faithful. So that we can hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't know what all the end time holds for the church. I believe we're going to see great revival. I believe there's going to be a great harvest of souls like there's never been before. But there also will likely be persecution. But God's looking for those who will be faithful. Come on, God's looking for those that even when persecution comes, they're going to say, "No, I'm going to be faithful. I may not have everything figured out, but I can be faithful to God. I can still trust in God. I can be faithful to the house of God. I can be faithful in my time of prayer and Bible reading." In Revelations 2:10, he told the church in Smyrna, he said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Hallelujah. It takes faithfulness. It takes faithfulness. Come on. This enemy within doesn't want to be faithful. This enemy within wakes up and, "Well, I got a little headache today, and so I think I'm going to take a day off." This enemy within says, "Oh, it's raining outside. It would be safe. If it's icy and all of that, you know, we're going to be safe. But if you'd head to work on a Monday morning with the rain that's outside right now, then don't you dare call pastor and say, 'Hey, pastor, I can't make it.'" If you'd go to work with that headache, I believe you ought to have enough faith that, "Hey, I'm going to show up to God, show up to church, and believe that when I start worshiping God, he's going to heal that headache." Hallelujah. I don't want to have more dedication to the things of the world than I have to the things of God. I've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful. Come on, God's looking for us to be faithful, not to have everything all put together and the right answers and to be perfect. He's saying, "Who's going to be faithful?" Hallelujah. And today, how can we possibly think we're going to overcome the enemy within us if we don't pray? Prayerlessness. We've got to fight the battle against prayerlessness. Oh, it's so hard to pray sometimes. Especially if we've not been in the lifestyle of prayer. To get down and pray, oh, it's hard. You've got to force this flesh. It's like you literally have to take this flesh by the neck and say, "No, you are gonna kneel here and you're gonna find some time and you are going to pray." It's literally like that. But oh, you give it 5 or 10 or 15, 20. Sometimes it may take 45 minutes. I've prayed for an hour sometimes and not felt anything. But usually there will be a breakthrough at some point and you'll feel the presence of God start flooding your heart in that room that you're in. And all of a sudden you know it's not just an earthly place, but that prayer room's been transformed and a heavenly visitation has happened and you feel the power of God and the anointing of His Spirit. I tell you, prayer humbles this flesh. Prayer defeats this enemy within. Prayer gets us to the place that God wants us to be. Prayer puts us in the avenue where God's miracles and God's blessings flow. If it's been a week since you prayed, then you are not living like you really should be living. If it's been a month or more, then I tell you are dying on the inside. You need the power of God, and you're not going to have it unless you pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I don't want this to be a church where we come and we say a few little words that we've memorized and we just repeat those things all the time and we kind of sit around and look at everybody else. No, this needs to be a place of prayer. This needs to be a place of prayer where we come and we get a hold of God. And we say, I'm not leaving until I feel an answer from heaven. I'm not leaving until something changes in my body. I'm not leaving until my mind is renewed. I tell you about how, come on, you may not can sing. You may not be able to lead worship. You may not be able to do a lot of stuff around here, but you can pray. You can get a hold of God. You can humble yourself and say, Lord, I've got to have an answer. I've got to hear from heaven. I want to tell you what, there's more power in somebody coming to the Lord and saying, God, you've got to forgive me. You've got to touch my heart. I need your spirit. I need your help. I need your guidance. And they humble themselves in prayer. There's more power in that person than anybody else that could come and write a $100,000 check to the church. And somebody that has all the answers and all the talent and all the ability. No, hey, we'll take those kind of people, but they better learn how to pray. Because that's where the power is. That's where the power's at. Hallelujah. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We tend to try everything else before we pray. Why not pray first? Why not pray first? That's where the answer is. That's where we tap into power. That men ought always to pray. Come on, we've got to have a lifestyle of prayer. I love telling the story of how my grandfather, B.H. McCoy, pastored a long time in Texas, and what a wonderful man. And I wish you could have got to meet him. He passed away when the year we became pastor here. And I miss him. I'll have dreams, and I'll wake up, and I'm literally crying and weeping in my sleep because I miss the impact of his life, and I miss that. But I can remember as a young man going to visit them during the summertime, and we'd have to run to Walmart or whatever they had back then, and we'd be there in the aisles of that store, and all of a sudden he'd just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God." I'd be looking around. You know? But he was always in a lifestyle of prayer. It was at a moment's notice he would be speaking in tongues. It was at a moment's notice that he'd be worshiping God, driving down the road, walking, whatever it was. He was in a lifestyle of prayer. Come on, that's what Springfield needs. That's what Springfield needs. I got a phone call the other day, and we were in a restaurant. I had to step outside, and there was a man having a conversation. I think it was a restaurant. He was having a conversation, and I'm standing there on my phone and standing there, and he's over there having a conversation. No, it was in Lowe's. It was in Lowe's. And I'm trying to pick out something, and he's over there chewing somebody out about his rent house, and they hadn't mowed the lawn and all that. And he's using every dirty word that he could think of, taking the name of the Lord in vain. There's enough of that going on in Springfield. Why not somebody that's full of the power of the Holy Ghost walking up and down the aisles at Lowe's and saying, "Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I worship your name." Come on, you might start a revival right there in the middle of that store. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Prayer. We've got to defeat prayerlessness if we're going to battle this enemy within. And I'm closing with one more today. This last battle of the enemy within, it's a powerful principle in life. It's a battle we all have to face. Many wise and successful people have written about this battle throughout history. It's something our Lord Jesus modeled throughout his life more than any other. It's a battle of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Our enemy within wants to hold on to unforgiveness. Our enemy within wants to hold grudges, to get back at those who have done us wrong. Even when they've already moved on, and maybe they didn't even realize they did anything to hurt us. Matthew 6:14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." If we want to be forgiven, we must forgive others. And I want to tell you what, I've got way more to be forgiven for than the few times that, or many times that someone's done something to hurt me. I need His forgiveness way, way more than that. But what if they don't ask for it? What if they're not sorry for what they've done? You know what? Probably most will not ever ask for forgiveness. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes that thing that we spend the most time thinking about, and we relive the hurt that they caused in us, and we dream of ways to get back to them and to make them pay for what they've done. And many people are wandering throughout life carrying that burden. When the person who hurt them, they didn't even know they did something wrong. Or maybe they did way back then, but now they forgot, and they don't even think about it. Where is the rule that says before we forgive someone, they have to ask us for forgiveness first? I don't know of any rule, not in the Bible. Where's the rule that says if I'm going to forgive them, I can only do it 3 times or 7 times? Or 50 times. Definitely not in the Bible. We find the opposite there. Forgiveness is not a reward that someone has to earn. Forgiveness is a gift that we give. It's a gift. We think of giving a gift of forgiveness to someone else, but really it's a gift that we give to ourselves. Forgiveness of others is a gift we give to ourselves, and we free our own spirit to release the anger and the hatred and the bitterness we've been carrying around in our heart. By granting forgiveness, we free our own spirit. We're able to go through life happily and unburdened by the things of the past. And when we grant forgiveness to others, it is a gift to ourselves. I want us each to consider unforgiveness in our hearts today, because it's one of the primary ways the enemy within us, our sinful nature, will seek to keep us from the kingdom of God. God's calling us to forgive. God's calling us to forgive. Forgive that one that hurt you long ago. Forgive that one that hurt you yesterday. Forgive that one who betrayed you. Forgive that one that let you down. Forgive that one that tried to destroy you. Forgive that one who did it over and over again and has never asked for forgiveness. Forgive that one that doesn't even realize they hurt you, perhaps. But give yourself a gift today, the gift of forgiving others. Hallelujah. Come on, have you thought about somebody you need to forgive today? I forgive them. I forgive them. Years ago, there was something that happened, and I don't even remember the details because I've let it go. It was so hurtful. I was so upset. They didn't ask for forgiveness. In fact, I went to them to try to talk about it, and they acted like I needed to ask for forgiveness. Can you? And I got mad all over again. I went through a period of about 6 months where every day I said, I forgive them. I forgive them. And I I would think, you know what, I've won the victory. And then I'd see him and, it was still there. But in prayer, I kept releasing it. God, take the bitterness. I release it. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them by faith. God, I know you're going to help me. I got to forgive them if I want to make it to heaven. So God, I forgive them. And I can honestly say, I don't even remember exactly what it was that happened. If I'd sat here long enough, I probably could conjure it up. But no, I've forgiven. And it's not there anymore. And my heart was free. Would you stand with me in closing today? Forgiveness. I hope you've each thought of somebody that you can forgive today, and that you'll make up your mind to give that gift of forgiveness. There's one other. There's one other person that each one of us in this house need to forgive right now. We're each at a critical point in life's race. And there's one other one that many of you here today have been withholding forgiveness from. If you don't forgive them, your effectiveness in life, your effectiveness as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a leader of others, your effectiveness as a Christian, your effectiveness as a soul winner, without forgiving this person today, our effectiveness will be cut short. And this enemy within will destroy us. Each one of us have got to forgive this person. Who is it, Pastor? I've already searched my heart. I can't think of anybody else. You need to forgive yourself. How many people have been called of God? His anointing is upon them. God is just waiting for them to do the work that He's prepared for them to do. And there are souls that are depending upon their voice. Because way back there somewhere, they messed up. They hurt somebody. They sinned. They got caught up in worldliness. They were guilty. They made mistakes. They let people down. And they're in church. They know that God's forgiven them. They know they've repented. They've gone to that person perhaps and asked for forgiveness, but they still can't forgive themselves. And every time the Spirit of God starts to move upon them and says, I've got great things in store for you, they think, no, it can't be true because look at what I've done. Look at how I've messed up. I'm going to tell you, God's forgiven you. Most likely that other person has forgiven you. If not, you need to make it right. But you need to forgive this person today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I tell you, people, they go through life with attitudes. They go through life with bitterness and anger. And who are they mad at? It seems like they're mad at the world. They say, well, I'm angry at my parents. I'm angry at my spouse. I'm angry at my children. But really, they're most angry with themselves for mistakes and failures and lost opportunities. But today, we're going to forgive.
we're going to forgive.
I believe that God can take every failure. I've seen it over and over again in my life and in others. God can take every failure and he can turn it into a strength, where he will take what the devil meant to destroy your life and he will turn it right back around. And you can say, in your face, devil. In your face, devil. I might have failed back there, but the grace of God, the mercy of God, the blood of Jesus Christ has covered me, has forgiven me. And I've forgiven myself, and now I'm going back. Oh, and what was a struggle before for me, maybe it's a struggle for somebody else. But now I've overcome this, and I'm going back with faith and power and anointing, and I'm going to be used by the power of God. Come on, surely you're facing one of these battles within, whether it's with worldliness or selfishness or unfruitfulness, unfaithfulness, prayerlessness, or maybe it's unforgiveness. I wonder if you'd make your way with me to the altar right now and you'd say, God, I'm going to win this battle here today. I'm going to win this battle with myself. I'm going to win this battle with my flesh. I'm going to put my flesh on the altar once more. I'm going to put these things on the altar once more. And I'm going to be what you've called me to be. Come on, anybody, you're ready to win this battle. You're ready to win this battle. You're tired of getting beat up by yourself, this enemy within. And you're going to say, God, I'm going to give you my life once and for all right now, Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, if there's sin in your life, you need to repent right now. You need to ask God to forgive you. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of those things that I've done that were wrong. Forgive me of those evil thoughts, Lord. Forgive me of the evil words I've spoken. God, forgive me of every sin. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Help me to be pure before you, Jesus. Forgive me, I pray. Come on, and you need to receive that forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive. He's faithful and just to forgive. Hallelujah. You need to forgive yourself. Come on, release that bitterness against your own heart. Release that anger that you have towards yourself for your failures and your mistakes. Lord, I pray that you take it from me right now. I release it, God. I release it. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I forgive myself right now. He called out of the Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God's calling you. God's calling you to a greater relationship with him. He's calling you to be faithful. He's calling you to be a prayer warrior. He's calling you to produce fruit. Come on, he's calling you to defeat worldliness. God, I pray that you'd give us strength right now in Jesus.